going to say happy birthday to Ben before I forget it. You know, when you get old, you forget stuff. But we got some brownies instead of cake today. So don't nobody leave until you get a big hunk of brownies. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Billy. Happy birthday to you. And many more. She's 84. I probably won't make it that far. Praise the Lord. God's been good to us. He has. He's been good to us. Hallelujah. I want to talk to y'all this morning about faith. Faith in God. You know, we don't have a lot of faith or confidence in mankind anymore because they lie to you like a dog. We can have faith in God, though, because He don't lie. And one measure of faith is what He's put right here in this book. And He stands behind His word. You know, my daddy used to shake hands with somebody, and he honored that by doing what he said he'd do. Well, people don't keep their word no more. No. But the Lord keeps His word, and He told us when we say we're going to do something, we jolly well better get it done if we can, or have a good excuse as why we can't. If we're supposed to follow Him and be His children, we need to act like it. There's a great controversy over the word faith. And I came to the Lord back in the 70s when the prosperity movement was really taking off. And it's the first thing I fell into. Of course, I fell into everything that was messed up. Fell into the United Pentecostals, no makeup, and all this kind of stuff. But if it's out there, I fell in it. And I asked God one time, why? And He said, because you need to know what's out there. Well, back in the 70s, it was lack of faith to take medicine. So I quit taking my medicine. I was listening to all these teachers that's walking with God, so I'm not going to take no pills. And it took me a year to die because without a thyroid, you will die. And God breathed life back into me. And they were always talking about making the right confession. Don't be negative about anything. Well, they didn't get me on that because I had studied the power of positive thinking in the occult. Norman Vincent Peale wrote the book on the power of positive thinking, and it got mixed into the church as faith. Be careful what you say. You know, just like we're some kind of gods. In fact, a lot of them back then call themselves little Jesuses. They go pray for somebody. I'm going to heal you. Why, that's a bunch of baloney. Only the Holy Spirit of God can heal somebody. Faith is a fruit and a gift. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. If you want to turn over there and see for yourself. The Bible says everybody is given a measure of faith. And your faith can grow. As you grow in God and you can trust Him more after you've seen Him do so many great miracles and everything, your faith is built up and you learn to trust God for more. 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. Takes me forever to find something. That's why I write my scriptures down. And this Bible's falling apart. Verse 9. I'll start with verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. There's nine gifts. All right, it says faith is a gift. And if you believe in Jesus, you must have some kind of faith already to even accept him as your Savior. That's faith. Believe in what the Word of God says is faith. All right? Galatians 5, verse 22. If somebody asks you where it is, you'll at least know where it is. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit. And the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. If they don't have any fruit, this lady called me and she had a dream her pastor was naked. She said, why would I dream that? And I said, well, we're clothed from on high by the fruit of the Spirit and the character of Jesus. And if he's naked, you need to pray for him. Some people just want the power. They don't want any fruit. The fruit's cultivated in the valley. And if you are in a teaching that rejects suffering, then you're going to be naked. They just want the gifts and the power, and they're ready to go. But the fruit is cultivated in the valley through suffering. And here's one of the fruits. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And they're all jointly fitted together. Patience creates long-suffering. And long-suffering creates gentleness and understanding. And you begin to feel sorry for people and not be so judgmental in the way they are. We're supposed to have some kind of nature of Christ if we're his children. And so you surrender yourself to the Lord. You say, God, here I am. It says, come as a little child. I ain't no bigot. I don't want to be no bigot. They call themselves prophets and apostles and bishops and all this kind of stuff. And they got them chairs look like thrones that they sit on. Oh, glory to God. You know what it said about Jesus? He came as a servant. Well, I want to be a servant of servants. How's that grab you? When we go down to minister to the homeless, we don't go down there like big hits. We come to minister to you poor little things. You look straight across at them. They're human beings. But this power of positive thinking has got mixed up into the Word of God. And Norman Vincent Peale taught it to Kenneth Hagin, Jerry Savelle, Charles Capps, Gloria Gillespie, Kenneth Copeland, and all these big leaders in the prosperity movement. And they say, oh, what do you want to talk like that for? You need to watch your mouth. There was this minister, had this lady in his healing service. He had a healing ministry. And the Lord showed him that she had cancer. And he went to her and she said, no, I don't have cancer. So he went on preaching. The Lord said, go back and ask her again. He went back and asked her again, no, I don't have cancer. And the third time he went back to her, he said, lady, the Lord has showed me you have cancer. Do you want to be healed? And she started crying and she said, yes, I do have cancer. She was taught to make the right confession, just like Gerald Wood, this man that I know. He fell off a ladder and hurt his back. And it's been 30 years ago. He's still going around all day over like that. And I said, Gerald, how's your back? My back's fine. ain't nothing better than my back. Well, is that telling the truth? We need to be honest. We can say, well, yeah, I do have problems, but I believe in God to heal me. That's an entirely different attitude. Let's just be honest. You know, the power of positive thinking is good to a certain degree. But then you got to see it God's way. Just because we say something don't mean that we're so powerful that it's bringing a curse down on us. Poor old Ralph, he'll say, Sister Joyce, you better watch your mouth. You better watch your mouth, Sister Joyce. Well, I've always had a problem with my mouth. But I'm still serving God. You know, I think we can say, well, I have this problem, but I'm believing God's going to heal me. The Lord's healed me of a lot of stuff, but I still have some things wrong with me. And I'm not going to go around and say, oh, I don't have diabetes. Well, I do too. I don't take my pills. I'll level to have a stroke and infect your heart and everything else. God give us a brain. All these people in Hebrews 11, they lived by faith. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you have heard from God on any given subject, it's okay to say, I'm waiting on the Lord. He's going to heal me. The Lord told him one time, your wife will be healed by the end of the year. And sure enough, it was. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And I was expecting it too, because he done heard from God. It's like the Lord said he's going to fill this church. Well, it don't look like it does. But he said he would. He said he would pour his spirit out here before there was ever even a church here. He didn't tell me the time limit on it. Am I going to just throw in the towel because we got a few, or am I going to wait on God? You know, Sarah tried to help themselves out with that son that God had promised, and it messed things up. But let's just trust God to take care of us in situations. And yeah, we all have fears and we all have doubts. But let's just trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not into our own understanding. And you know, there's three measures of faith. There's little faith, much faith, and great faith. I know they used to whip people if they got anything wrong with them. They'd say, well, you just don't have faith enough to believe God, like it was their fault they were sick. Instead of helping them and lifting them up, they whoop them down. Say, well, it's just your own fault. You didn't have faith enough to believe God. And what they say about Job, well, what he feared come on him. I mean, it's putting man in a position that only God should hold. God's words are profound. We're not little Jesuses. We're the sons and daughters of the King of Glory. We're not Jesus. I had one lady at a prayer meeting one time, like to scare this other lady to death. She would come, I'm going to heal you. Well, we don't want to do no such thing. Only the anointed word is powerful. Our words are meaningless without the anointing of God. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that goes out ahead of us and makes a way. It's the anointing that's in that tornado around us. God may be allowing Satan to bring destruction, but he knows where we're at. And he said, I give my angels charge over you to keep you. And yeah, we have our doubts and our fears, and we sometimes question why. My granddaughter was in that tornado, and she thought she was fixing to die, and she was screaming for Jesus. And he was there. He protected her. And he said, I'm not ever going to leave you nor forsake you. You know where the leaving takes hold of is we do the leaving. We get disgusted because God don't do everything we want him to do right away, and so we just throw up our hands and say, what's the use in believing in God? Ain't nothing ever going to happen in my life. There's where doubt and unbelief gets a hold of you. If God has showed you something, that faith's going to be sorely tried. The Lord's going to find out, well, do you really believe I can do this for you or not? I've had my doubts about this church. Ralph here, he said one time, he said, Sister Joyce, I don't know if the Lord's having y'all do this or y'all just did it on y'all. See, we all have doubts. We all question God. Easiest thing in the world would be just lock the door and go to the house and give me something to eat. That's usually my pacifier. Give me something to eat. We need to learn how, when we've heard from God, to stand on that. And like that song says, what about a dread? What about a fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. We're not leaning on our own abilities, because they'll run dry pretty quick. Then you're going to say, well, what are we going to do now? My first husband used to say that. Mama, what are we going to do now? I said, I don't know, but I'll think of something. I don't do that anymore. I want to know, what does God think? What does God want me to do? We failed again just here with this little thing of CBN out here because we didn't ask God. Fred said he could do it, so we let Fred do it. Didn't turn out too swift, did it? We didn't ask God. We learn through the things that we suffer. And the wind is picking up out there, and the storms is blowing, and we better learn how to trust in Jesus. He laid down in the boat and went to sleep. He wasn't worried. Disciples thought they was going to perish. Billy, you in the boat with Jesus. The storms is picking up and the waves is rolling high, but Jesus is bigger than any storm you're facing. He said, I'll go out ahead of you and I'll make a way where there seem not to be a way. I brought my little 2-year-old great-grandson in here the other day, and we was going to have church. He got over here by this door fixing to come inside, and he went, shh, Granny, be quiet. That little baby had a reverence for God that nobody had told him anything about. They're born, little children are born with an instinct to know God. Why, they just left heaven, why wouldn't they? Jesus said, I knew you before you were ever created in your mother's womb. I think we used to be in heaven because we call it going home, don't we? The Bible don't tell us that. But it is our home. It's our final destination. There's not any of us in here who want a truckload going today. Because we had never died before. I died, but I didn't go anywhere. My heart just quit and everything in me shut down. And God breathed life into me. Because I wouldn't take my medicine, it did me a number, you know. Don't get your mind on people. You better listen to Jesus, because he said, follow me. He's the teacher. And he'll lead and guide you into all truth, and you won't get led off down to Guyana or someplace else. It is so simple. It says you have to be as a child to even enter into the things of God. I probably got a bunch of them mad at me on Facebook, because I told them, I said, I just want to be a servant of the Lord. I don't want to be no big yet with a big title. I know there's prophets and apostles and teachers and evangelists. I know that. But if God wants to uncover your calling to anybody, to show them who you are in the Spirit, he can do that. He can tell you who they are in the Spirit. He can show you the ones that's messed up too. There should be a humbleness and a brokenness in a child of God. You know why the Lord chose Moses to bring his people out of Egypt? Because he was humble and meek and would listen to God. The Lord is not looking for any big hits. And he was looking for a king. He looked at all of Jesse's boys, big, strong, good-looking men. And Samuel said, is this all the sons you got? No, I got one more. He's out there on the backside of the desert tending to the sheep. The Lord knows where you're at. He knows what you're capable of. The main thing he wants out of you is obedience and letting him be the big it. I went on a mission trip with this woman, and she was in charge. And the Lord gave me a dream, and she was driving an 18-wheeler, and she had my Ranchero in the back of that thing. She had done taken me clean over. And she ran over Jesus. He was in the road, and she ran over Jesus. Didn't even stop. She just kept going. And I told her the dream, and she says, well, sister, what do you think that means? And I said, well, what do you think it means? If the Lord give you a dream like that, what would you think it meant? If you run over Jesus with an 18-wheeler. You're supposed to be following Jesus. He doesn't need your being a big hit. The only mansion I'm interested in building is in glory. Right. Where we can put all them souls in there that we bring to the Lord. I remember one time when I was a little girl, I lay across the bed with my daddy and watch his wheat just wave it in the wind. And I told you that the other day before I mowed that grass. I said, I've been sitting here looking at that grass that's topped out, and it's like wheat waving in the wind, ready to be harvested. The Bible says the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. How many people do you tell about Jesus in a given day? Or do you even say, God bless you? Or do you go around them and give them the finger? How do you act out there? Are you his witness? J.W. gives his Jesus caps away all the time. Every time they say, I like your cap, he gives them one. And I said, now they're gonna say they like your cap because they want to know something about the Lord. Are you going to open your mouth and tell them about Jesus if you wear this cap? You know, we're not supposed to hide the Lord or be ashamed of him. Because it says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. I was ashamed. ashamed when I first come to the Lord for anybody to know that I belong to God. One time I stopped at this ball game. My son was playing. I got up in the bleachers and the Lord said, "Now praise me." They're all screaming and yelling and hollering. I started, "Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah." That little two-year-old great-grandson, I taught him how to do that the other day. I said, "Praise God. Hallelujah." And boy, he just followed me right into that. His mom and daddy get back from vacation, they got a surprise. Because he really enjoyed doing that. He felt something. And the Lord gave me a gospel tent, and it was right there on the highway. And he said, "Go out there and anoint them stakes." I was okay under the tent, but I didn't want anybody to see me out there, so I had to go anoint all them stakes. I got delivered being ashamed of the Lord. You know, we come to God with all these hang-ups. And as baby Christians, we believe whatever anybody else tells us, and it hangs on us for years. But the truth sets you free. And faith is a fruit and a gift. It's not the right confession or the power of positive thinking. It's just simply a faith from God and a fruit from God. The fruit of the spirit of faith is you trust Him just like a little child. If He said it in here, He'll do it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it's the anointed Word. If the Lord gives you a particular scripture to read, and it speaks to your heart, that's what you call the anointed Word. Because it was anointed, especially for you. And I'm praying for my daughter. And the Lord told me, "Refrain thy voice from weeping, for thy children shall come again from the land of the enemy." That was anointed to me for my situation. I knew my daughter was going to be all right. And that anointed word gives you faith. Because, you know, I went looking for Desiree one night. She was going to kill herself. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "She shall be used greatly in the earth." Well, I come home, went to bed. I knew she wasn't going to kill herself. Hearing from God gives you peace. You don't have to live in fear. And He said in Matthew 24 that there's going to be many of them having heart attacks on what's fixing to come on this earth. But we know what He said. God done already told us. We don't have to read 1,500 other books to know what this Bible says. It's okay to read these books. And a lot of these books, they'll put their own interpretation in there. And the Holy Ghost didn't have nothing to do with it. But if you take this word here and believe it, like you believe some of these teachings out there, your whole life will become transformed. You know, I used to get up at 3 o'clock and I got old and I'm lazy, and now the Lord's waking me up at 5. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm praying. You got to have your daily bread. You know, you pray and you say, "Give us this day our daily bread." Well, what about your spiritual food? Is your spirit starving because you don't read the Word of God or pray? The spirit life is more real than the physical. The physical will die and fade away someday, but the spirit lives on. You got to feed your spirit. It says the more you see all these things happening, the closer you need to draw to God, and you need to have that light burning. Are you going to be a lighthouse for Jesus? Are you going to be full of darkness? You know, God's always asking us questions. What are you going to do when things is falling around you? The right confession's not going to save you. But your faith in God will. Because he said, I'll not ever leave you nor forsake you. I've been reading a book about these early martyrs. And boy, I mean, they went through a living hell before they finally killed them. Would your faith hold up in something like that? Gonna find out, do you really love Jesus? Somebody told me these empty military bases are going to be prisons for Christians. I don't know. God didn't show me that. I don't know. But I know that we can trust in Jesus. And so no matter what may be tied, God will take care of you. Billy, God's going to take care of you in that operation, and you got yourself a Christian doctor. And just like Ralph went through his knee surgery, God took care of him. He probably got a lot of flack from religious people, said, oh, you must have something wrong, Brother Ralph, or you wouldn't have to deal with this. His body's just getting old, and it needs fixed. He hadn't done nothing to cause him to be sick. He's out walking, ain't he? Got his knee fixed and he's walking. If you pray for something, you pray for God to heal you and that healing don't come through, then go to the doctor. You'll never be able to make God do your will. You have to bow to his will. And Jesus did. He said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It ain't lack of faith because he had to go to doctor. God created doctors. I remember that little boy that got sick. And I don't know what denomination they was, but they wouldn't take that baby to the doctor, and he died. That baby died. You know, one time I had a tumor operation and I figured I had cancer and I was in for it. And I had some unforgiveness in my heart toward my daughter-in-law. The night before surgery, I prayed through and all they found was a tumor. But, you know, God works everything for good. Anything that happens in the life of a Christian, God is going to turn it for good because it says all things works together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. How would you ever have any compassion for anybody if you had never been sick? Oh, you could get up from there if you wanted to. How mean is that? Where's love and mercy and kindness? We're not supposed to whoop somebody with the Word of God. It's supposed to bring a healing. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? It says try the spirits if it be of God. Well, just check out what I've said with the Scripture. See if it's of God. Then ain't I'll stand in judgment for the Lord one of these days. But I know that you have to be very simple and childlike and do whatever he says. Forget about building these big monasteries and these kingdoms because they're going to come down. They ain't going to be able to pay the bills for them. The only thing that will remain is what God has ordained. Mm-hmm. And if he ordained it, then it'll stand. Does anybody need prayer this morning? Y'all need to pray that we can get the right people out here to finish this cement job. Because we didn't ask the Lord. We just went on and we did.